Amen. Got a home over there. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to turn with us to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. Chapter number 5. Told them in the prayer room that I really wanted to preach this morning on the second coming, or the rapture in the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord's placed on my heart, found in Hosea chapter number 5. Hosea is a very strong book in the Bible. We've been studying it at home for some time now. And preached out of the book of Hosea just a very few times in my life. Never looked at this chapter this morning or in my life that I want to look at it this morning. So if you would stand with us this morning, look at Hosea chapter 5. Hosea is the prophet that God has called to come and speak to a divided kingdom. Israel has been divided between the northern and the southern kingdom. And Hosea is the prophet of God that God has sent to the people to proclaim the Word of God to each one. I've asked Dennis to bring in this illustration. Thank you, sir. Spin that jacket around there if you don't mind. That's good. Thank you, sir. Hosea chapter 5, verse number 8. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven, after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away. I will take him, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. We look at these verses, and I'm interested this morning, especially in verse number 10, where the Scripture says, the princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. I want to speak this morning on the precepts of the boundary. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray you'd help us to preach today with power and a demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God with a God-given ability. Father, I ask that you would help us today to see truth. Help us to apply this truth to our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, we realize today that what you've laid upon our heart to me is a very difficult subject, and I pray, God, you would allow us to get this across well. And God, I pray you to help our words, God, to paint a picture in someone's mind that they might receive help. And pray, God, you'd rescue that one that might be in trouble today. For Lord, we're asking this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Am I freezing you to death? Yes. Somebody said yes. No. If I do, just start doing like this, and I'll thank you in the Holy Ghost. Honest, Brother Steve, if you think they get cold, or Brother Calvin, whoever, if you think they get cold, come up here and click it back to just off or something. That'll be fine. I was watching Luke play football about 2 weeks ago. They got beat pretty bad, knocked them out of first place. We were down 25-0. And our quarterback went back and threw a little pass to our wide receiver, who was trying to turn the corner, and as he did, there were people diving trying to get him, and they just missed him. And soon as he got to the very edge of the field, I noticed that white line that ran down the field, and that boy somehow, his body was leaning out, but he was tippy-toeing, carrying that ball, staying in, and he went like 70 yards in for a touchdown. The only time we scored. And in my mind, as I stood there on the side of that field, what was important was not winning or losing or really even the game. But what became important to me when I saw it was that boundary line. Now, isn't it something that a football game could not be played correctly without boundaries? In fact, your life will not be lived correctly without boundaries. There are boundaries in your life. I used to referee high school basketball. I've been this county and Avery County, Mitchell and Avery County and Yancey County many times. Y'all have yelled at me down through the years. You didn't even know it was me back then. But I was over here and I knew what yours was like before I come. I should have known what I was getting into. And I'd come over here and I'd blow the whistle and half the gym would say, "That's a great call," and cheer for me, and the other half would say, "What? Can't you see? You're blind." But when that guy stepped on the line and stepped on that boundary or stepped out of that boundary, I had to blow the whistle. Now, the truth is this morning that there are bounds in our lives. And there are bounds that God wants us to live in. And certainly we see this for Israel as well, and it applies to us. Even though Israel is a divided kingdom, the northern kingdom called Ephraim, the southern kingdom called Judah. Let's study it. First of all, God says, Hosea, give them a warning. Verse 8. He says, "Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud, O Beth Avon, after thee, O Benjamin." What he's trying to say is, it's time, Hosea, to blow the trumpet. Time to sound the warning. Why? Because they're in sin. They've stepped outside the boundaries that God has permitted them to live in. They're in idolatry. They're in flagrant, open sin. And it's just rampant in the land. And God says, "Hosea, I want you to go and preach to them and sound the warning." Now you may say, anytime the preacher gets in that pulpit, he begins to blow the old gospel trumpet and sound the warning. I don't like to hear that warning because God is a God of judgment. You hear what I'm going to tell you this morning. God is a God of judgment, but He's a God of love. And in the fact that He is a God of love, when you step outside the bounds, He wants you to step back in. And He will blow the whistle, and He will sound the trumpet and tell you you're out of bounds in your life. Now come get back in play. Come get back in square with me in your life. God, in His mercy and in His grace and in His love, permits us to have the old gospel trumpet sounded, the old whistle blown when we're out of bounds. Now God has told me to come in today and tell somebody, you're out of bounds. In your life, on this issue, whatever it may be, you're out of bounds and you need to reclassify. You need to consider where you're standing. Consider this message your warning. Second of all, I see wickedness in the land. Verse 10, the princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Now, I used as an illustration a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was at Mine Creek, about one named Beetle Bailey, who went out, you remember him in the comic strips, who went out playing golf with his sergeant. And Sarge said, "Beetle, I want you to help me be my caddy." And so Sarge lines, I'm not a golfer, you all laugh at my swing, but he lines up and he says, "Four!" And he hits the ball and it goes sailing and it goes way far yonder out of bounds into the trees. And Beetle says, "Sarge, that was a miss hit. You've hit it way out of bounds. What do you want me to do?" Sarge says, "Let me think." He said, "I got a suggestion, Sarge. Do you want me to go get the ball and pick it up and carry it and just drop it back in play?" Sarge said, "You can't do that, Beetle. That's cheating." He said, "Just move the boundaries out." It's the same thing, ain't it? And there are people today who are trying to move the boundaries out. They're trying to move the boundaries out on which word of God we're supposed to use. Trying to move the boundaries out on how we're supposed to live our lives. And that it's okay for gay marriage to be in our country. And it's okay for us to no longer have prayer in our schools and to take in God We Trust off of our money and take the name of our God out of our pledge. And nowadays, even Christmas, here we go towards the Christmas season. And I've already heard people saying that they're not going to say Merry Christmas anymore. They're going to start saying Happy Holidays because the word Christ is in the word Christmas. God help the way our country has become and the way we're living. I certainly see wickedness in the land. And the princes of Judah are those that are in authority. For those that are in authority, it is their job and it is their duty to teach the people what the boundaries are, what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable in our society. And it is leadership's responsibility to teach that and live by that. But our society has become one where it's okay for the authorities to move the boundaries and step outside and tell everyone else, you can do as I do. Now you hear me today. As the pastor of this church, it is my duty, it is my job to teach these young people and to teach you, sir, and you, ma'am, what God says is right and what God says is wrong. Many preachers have decided to move the landmark and change the boundaries. I don't want to do that. Well, we see the people have become wicked. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. In other words, he stepped outside the boundary. He was not supposed to move it, but willingly he walked over it and he ignored it and laughed about it. You hear me? You step out of bounds in some basketball game, the referee is not going to be the only person noticing. Every person in the gym can see that that young man or that young lady stepped out of bounds. You hear me? Everyone can see your life, whether you're living inside the bounds that God has permitted for you or outside it. Preacher, just how big are these bounds? Look at me. It goes from here to here. There is the bounds, sir, son, ma'am, young lady, there is the bounds for your life. It is the Word of God. Well, preacher, that's a pretty narrow. He said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find it. But this is the bounds of God.
Amen.
I told these young boys the other Sunday, I said, listen, you boys learned how to drive. Your daddy's taught you to keep it between the ditches, to keep it on your side of the yellow line. Let me tell you right now how to drive in your life. Keep it between the cover of this Bible and live your life that way. That's what will get the job done. Now, over there in the book of Hosea chapter 5 again, the next verse there, when we look at this next verse, I want you to notice not only the warning that God gives them, but I want you to notice the wickedness that God shows them that they're in. But He lays out some work. He lays out some work, and he begins this in verse number 12. Now listen, when you step out of line in your life, when you get outside the boundary, does God just quit? Does He stop working and say, well, they've stepped out of bounds, let's let them go? You see, God bought you with a price. You're not your own. You belong to Him. And when you step outside the bounds, it's His work, it's His job to go and get you and to bring you back. He'll leave it up to you and your willingness to do so, but it's His work that goes out and gets you. Now, years ago, when they set these rules up, there was a wide receiver. Brother Dennis is a referee as well. There was a wide receiver that went to the far side of the field beside his coach. And he lined up, checked with the receiver to see if he's on the line of scrimmage. And there he stands, getting ready to go into his pattern. The defensive back came up and checked him, and the quarterbacks walked up there to the center and getting ready to say, hut. Okay? Now the wide receiver, all he does is he walks off the field, just like this. He steps out of bounds, which took him out of play. Well, the defensive back that was covering him was like, what is he doing? Quarterback snapped the ball, rolled back over this way, looking for a man. And on that same side of the field, way down the field, there was a man who was already out of bounds, who stepped in bounds, and they threw him a pass uncovered for a touchdown. That is an illegal play. But according to the rules in that day, it was okay. They had to change the rules. But you know what I'm going to tell you what? God is never going to change the rules for you.
Amen.
There'll be no exception. There'll be no deception. There's no way you're going to fool Him. When you are out of bounds in your life, God knows it. And His work is to warn you of your wickedness and to bring you back in play where you stepped out of bounds in your life. Look what God does. He begins, what happens? What happens to me? How does He do this? God begins to work in your private life. Hey, somebody here today, you got some secrets. There's some things that are in your private life right now that you don't really want anybody to know. But God, right now, is working in your private life. It might not even be known to you that are already out of bounds. You may know you're out of bounds, but you may think He's just ignored it or let you by with it, but God's at work in your private life. Let me illustrate in verse 12. He says, "Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, to the house of Judah as rottenness." As a what? A moth. God said, "I'm going to be like a moth." Hence this jacket. Years ago, my wife or someone bought me this jacket. It's very warm, and I like this jacket a lot because it's one of the warmest jackets I've got. But unbeknownst to me, this jacket, when I got it, was damaged. I didn't know it. I even wore it once or twice and looked down, and I noticed a big old white spot right here where there's no nap or material that's left. And guess what had been a hold of it? A moth from the store. "Preacher, you should have took it back." You're right, I should have. And I have always questioned, why didn't we? I mean, my wife would take it back, I guarantee you she'd take it back for me. She'd probably still try to take it back if she could. But for some reason, we accepted this jacket, and it's got to be for October the 26th, 2008. You see what I did here, Brother Ed? I got me a magic marker, and that place there where the moth eat out, I colored it in. Oh, now y'all do the same stuff. Give me a little crayon. Huh? I colored it in. But it's been eaten by a moth. You can come inspect it after the service is over. And I've worn this jacket here a number of times, and y'all never said a word. I don't know if y'all went home and said, "Preacher's got a jacket on, it's moth eaten." I tell you, we didn't do something for him. But I got to think about that moth, and I studied him for a second. The moth, God said, "I'm going to be like a moth." The moth will work in a secret place, in your closet, where a lot of times it's dark, a place that's not looked at or not seen each and every day. The moth, he moves very, very little. A lot of times, if you don't check things out normally, he's hard to identify, and he can easily destroy your clothing. Now, they tell me that the female moth will begin to lay eggs within the first day of her life, and by the age of 7 to 14 days old, can lay up to 100 eggs. And when those larvae are hatched, the first thing they start eating on is the material. And the nap of the material will be completely eaten up secretly, silently, and slowly it will be taken away. But they said that these larvae, these eggs, are easily dislodged. Do you know what you've got to do to dislodge them? Oh, you got to get mothballs. No, simpler than that. Just shake it rigorously, and they're easily dislodged, and they're easily crushed, and they're easily defeated. Just shake it a little. Do you know what this church needs? You need a good stirring and a good shaking from the Word of God. You need a preacher to get in this pulpit and preach hell hot and heaven sweet. Yeah. Get your attention.
Come on.
Why is that preacher always beating on us and banging us on us and challenging us all the time? I mean, you know why? He's trying to shake and stir in your life to get the moth eggs off of you. So that some things won't be eat up in your life. Well, the preachers ain't this directly for me. Well, you know what? If you're doing it, yes, I did. But I didn't know you was doing it. But your confession just admitted to me that there was a problem. Now, when we get outside that boundary, we need to be shook, okay? I got a thing about the moth. The moth consumes beauty. I'm going to read Psalm 39:11. Psalm 39:11. Studying the moth real quickly. God said, "I'm going to work like a moth in your private life. What you think nobody knows about, I'm going to eat at some things in your life to get your attention." Psalm 39:11, "When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. What? To consume away like a moth. Things that were once precious to you. Things that you once valued so greatly. Oh, how you appreciated the church. And oh, how you appreciated to see one person move to an altar. Whether they were just to come and to pray for somebody else. That blessed you. You couldn't wait for the preacher to preach. You couldn't wait for the bell to ring for Sunday school class to begin. I'm telling you what, you stepped out of bounds and God has begun to eat away some of your appreciation for the house of God, for the things of God, for the goodness of God, and the beauty of your Christian life is being eaten away by a moth. And you know who the moth is? It ain't the devil. It's God working like a moth to try to bring you to a place to realize you're not all you think you are. And look, let you know that you're being devoured. You're being devoured and destroyed, and you need to come to Him. You hear me this morning? There's some things you used to appreciate, amen, that you don't appreciate like you used to. You take things for granted. You may say, oh, I don't never take things for granted. Well, I'm going to tell you what you do. The book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 19. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse number 19. Not only will your beauty be consumed, but your values are corrupted. Again, things you treasured. Look what he says. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen, some of you in your private life, you're trying to figure out, where'd all my money go? I mean, I work so hard, and I mean, the price of gas has eaten me up. I've been preaching on the price of gas forever, and now it's down to $2.20-something a gallon. Why don't I say, thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's wonderful. But no, you see, what's happened is, when you stepped out of the boundaries in your life, God began to eat in your pocket like a moth. And now you've got holes. And the money you've been, and you don't know where it's all going. It's just falling out on the ground as you go by. You know why? Because the moth's eating you up. It's being taken. You wasn't going to give it to God anyway. So He just sent a little moth down there to get a hold of it and take it away. Let's just read it. James chapter 5. I'm almost off this moth thing. James chapter 5. You get my drift. James chapter 5, verse number 2. Your righteousness is condemned. You may say, well, I'm the most holy person here. And that preacher would preach to me about being out of bounds. Well, I'm not being out of bounds on anything in my life. God, like a moth, has said you went out of bounds, and He's working in your life. And your righteousness, what's here? He says, your riches, verse 2, are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. You are slowly rotting away. You used to be so faithful to the house of God. Now if you miss on Sunday night, it don't even bother you. You've done it for a couple years now. You got by with it. But the moth has been secretly eating on you this entire time. And now the fabric of your life is moth-eaten. Rotten. God help. Let me go back there to Hosea. You stay where you are just for a second. I want to read this to you from Hosea. It said, when this happened to them, they went to an Assyrian king named Jareb to ask for someone to heal their wounds and someone to take away their rottenness. Jareb's going to fix their rottenness. Can you hear me this morning? You can look to a political leader to fix this country all you want to. But when the fabric of our society is moth-eaten and rotten, there ain't no political physician that's going to heal you.
Amen.
And see, that's what the people do. Well, let's elect this guy, or let's elect this person, or this lady. Let me tell you what. You better elect Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and the Word of God is the thing you treasure and value. That's the only thing that's going to heal this land. It ain't going to be no $700 billion bailout. It ain't going to be where the price of gas is up or down. The thing that's going to save this country is Jesus. And you know what? We know that. We know that. But that's not what we talk about. We talk about
McCain or Obama. That's all we talk about. That's all we talk about. That's all we hear. That's all we talk about. Why are we talking about Jesus? Because we're rotten. Hey, man? Rotten. Well, Hosea mentions another thing here. Not only is the Lord going to work in your private life like a moth, but then he said down there in verse 14, he said, I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. God only works in your private life, but when that don't get your attention and that becomes acceptable, God says, now I'm going to work in your public life like a lion. You realize what a lion does? Well, a lion represents the devil. Yeah, but it also represents Jesus. What do you mean? Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, when a lion comes around, he begins to terrorize his victims by his roar. Sound the warning! Roar! There he is, present. I remember hearing about a lion in Africa that took 150 workers away from a camp. One lion! Over the course of one summer, there was great terror in the camp. It was a public demonstration of how he could just do what he wanted to do. You know what this morning? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. David got into adultery. Stepped out of the boundary. God began to work. David tried to hide it. He sent Nathan down there to say, Thou art the man. David got right about it. But you know what's recorded all through the Scripture? His sin. I'm sure he was ashamed of it. I certainly don't want my sin written about for everybody to see and to know about. Do you? But you see, the lion still proclaims, and it gives terror to us what happens when you step outside the boundary. I think about the man of God, Gehazi, who decided he would step outside the boundary and defraud people. And you know what happened? God sent leprosy on him. What a warning. The terror of the lion. Then the tearing of the lion. A few Sunday nights ago, I was preaching here about a man of God who went down to warn the people. And he said, I don't want you to stop there. Don't take a present. Don't eat with them. Don't drink with them. Don't even go back the same way you came. Go another way. And then another man of God came down there to him and said, listen, God sent an angel to tell me that you're supposed to come back with me and eat at my table. Really? He was an older man of God, one that he reverenced, one that he thought was very wise. And he said an angel spoke to him, and that sounded pretty spiritual. So he went back. And when he sat down at that table and he stepped outside the boundary of the will of God in his life, that other man of God said to him, God said today, you won't make it home. You're going to die. You'll be unburied. And that man of God knew he'd stepped outside the boundary. He saddled up his donkey and he headed down the road. And when he went out of the city just a ways, the Bible says there was a lion that met him by the way, that took him and killed him, and there laid his body, and beside it stood the lion, not eating of his flesh, but just sitting there, and on the other side, that old donkey. Now you know what? That lion could have killed that donkey too, but he didn't. The donkey sat there, the man's dead, and there sits the lion. And I preached here in the pulpit that that lion probably represents the devil, that God turned that person that's out of the will of God over to the devil for destruction of the flesh. But the other side of that is, possibly, he met the lion of the tribe of Judah, who said, I gave you life, and I'm going to take your life. And there he lays. And the Bible says the public came out, and they everyone saw what happened and said, that is the man of God that stepped outside the boundaries in his life. You hear me today? You think the boundaries, well, it's no big deal, I can handle it. Well, it's just stepping out of bounds, it's no big deal. You hear me? The lion not only terrorizes you, not only will he tear you like he tore that man of God, but he'll take you. There was a man over in Africa I read about, and he built up a barrier here at this camp of thorns and thistles, and they told how many feet it was. And one night during, when everybody was asleep, that lion came through all of the thorns and the thistles and the briars, and he came into the camp. And they told me that he stepped carefully over people that were asleep in the camp. A lion. Ought to got up, preacher. You ain't got up now. And there he goes. And he reached up 12 feet and took a man off the top bunk and pulled him down and cut his throat and carried him back out. A blood trail through the camp. Everybody's asleep. Nobody cared. Nobody concerned. Back through the thorns and the thistles. And they said they woke up. They saw blood trail went out. And they could hear his bones being crushed. And could hear that big cat actually purring while he was devouring his victim's blood. The lion can take from you. You hear me today? God gave to you. God can take away from you if you decide you're going to get outside the boundaries in your life. You may not like that truth, but it is that way. David said in 1 Samuel, he said there was a bear and there was a lion who came. And he said that the lion took a lamb out of the flock. But he said, I went after him and I smote him, grabbed his beard and smote him and took that lamb back and delivered it. But you know what Hosea says? When this lion comes, none shall rescue him. Nobody's going to rescue you when you're outside the boundaries of the will of God. I'm done right here. You go back to Hosea chapter 5. I'm done right here, I promise. This is it. He works in your private life as a moth. He works in your public life as a lion, taking and tearing and terrorizing. Some of you have got real fears about some things that's going on in your life right now. You're worried to death. Last of all, he says, verse 15, I will go and return to my place. God works by withdrawing His presence. He said, if the moth didn't work and the lion didn't work in your life, then I'm just going to back away from you because you're not willing to repent. I'm just going to go back to my place. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to go back. You may say, well, preacher, I don't think any of these things are true in my life. Can I ask you a question? Why is it you can no longer pray with the power you once had? Why is it you no longer can sit down and read and study the Word of God and it's not speaking to you? Maybe you've stepped over a boundary somewhere. Why is it that you undervalue or you don't appreciate coming to the house of God and having fellowship one with another anymore? Why is that true? Why are you not getting what some other people are getting? I'll tell you why. It's because in one area or another of your life where nobody else knows it, you've decided to step over a boundary. And God has warned you with a moth. He's warned you with a lion. And finally He said, you know what? You ain't getting it. I'm not talking I'm taking your salvation. I'm not withdrawing my Holy Spirit from you. But my glory, my power, I'm withdrawing. And I pull back from you. Now, hear this morning. My son Luke, love him to death. But there are times in his life that he gets in his head that he wants such and such. And he wants it now. And I know that if he gets it, he'll misuse it. I know if he gets it, he's going to get hurt with it. But I really want it. I just got to have it. But son, that's not proper for you. Everybody else has got it. Why can't I have it? Y'all know the drill. You've been parents and some of you are right now. You know exactly how that. And finally, as a parent, you say, okay, I'm going to let you have it. Against my better judgment, here. And boom. They get hurt, something about skateboard, they broke her leg, you know. I mean, something about happened. You try to tell them. But finally, and to teach them a lesson, you gave in. God has saw you step over the boundary. He's warned you. You're happy there. You won't listen to the moth. You won't listen to the lion. But you want to stay right there where you are. Well, you know what? God says, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to withdraw my presence from you. You're not going to get a prayer through. I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to answer you. You're not going to be able to study. You're not going to be able to have fellowship. You're not going to appreciate anything because I'm just going to back away from you. You know what? I thank the Lord. And when I sit down to study the Word of God and I ask Him to help me, that He teaches me about His Word. And I thank the Lord that when I bow my knee and begin to pray and seek His face, praying according to His will, that I know that I'll see results. I thank God for the fact that God enabled me to stand in a pulpit to preach the Word of God and to see souls saved and people getting right with God. It was a blessing this week to see that man get saved down there at that funeral, or to go out and preach at a church and it might be needing some help to revive them and encourage them. That certainly is a blessing. Oh, God, help! If He said, no longer will I help you because you stepped over some bounds.